It's an important part of it. We were friends. We liked one another. But that wasn't accidental. We were thrown together, the seven of us, because we were members of the court, either by election or appointment. We would not have been social friends or otherwise associated were it not for the court. We came from radically different backgrounds, economically, socially, in terms of religious conviction, ethnically. Nothing would have brought us together otherwise save that court. And we all recognized that, so we knew that if we were to make this outfit work and to help restore its esteem in Michigan, we needed to get to know one another better and to respect one another personally. Sometimes you can't force that. Sometimes personal styles are such that, hard as one might try, you just can't care for another person. Something like that might have happened in our court because all of us had distinctly different styles. But during my 10 years there, I served with three different chief justices. And if I were a governor and had to appoint somebody to be a chief justice at a certain time in history, I could not have done better than I think we did at choosing the chief justices. They were, during each of their terms, the primary catalyst to introducing and preserving this bond of personal respect, which was the court's glue. When Mary Coleman was elected Chief Justice, she brought a graciousness, a style, a reserve to our conference, which required the rest of us deal with one another and with her with the same sort of deference and respect and graciousness that she showed in her leadership. When Tom Kavanaugh was the Chief Justice, he's a person utterly devoid of any guile, very relaxed style. If he emphasized anything, first and foremost, it is that we're in this together and we have to disagree, but not disagreeably. While he was certainly no cheerleader, he created a personal relationship with each member of the court of a kind which reminded us that the institution is infinitely more important than our individual points of view. And then when G. Menon Williams was elected Chief Justice, he brought to the end of the table the style and the skill and the wisdom of an executive of very extensive experience, of course, as a governor and in the State Department and as Undersecretary for State for African Affairs. He was a diplomat par excellence. He was trained in it in his social caste as a young man and further trained throughout his life. And he was able to, and for him easily, to bring together at the conference table totally disparate points of view on tough subjects, see to it that they were fully aired, and then be the catalyst to reduce those disagreements to a decision which, as I said earlier, would be devoid of rancor and vitriolic language or personal enmity. And so we liked one another in that way. We got into some terrific arguments. On top of all of what I said about this friendliness, one needs to understand that the court was deeply divided philosophically during the period I was there in several areas of the jurisprudence. The principal one, of course, was the area of worker compensation. Those of us who approached the decisional process from a more conservative perspective were in the minority. The decisions of the Michigan Supreme Court in the worker compensation area were many and varied. I came to believe, after I was on the court for a while, that as the legislature continually amended the Worker Compensation Act, They did it in broad and indistinct and often relatively vague language, with the perfect confidence that the historically liberal Michigan Supreme Court would fill in all the gaps in a generous, liberal, giving way to the advantage of the claimants, usually, and necessarily, therefore, to the disadvantage of the employer economically. And I was joined in that general opinion by at least two other members of the court, but we were a minority.